This is Dan Sheraton with CrossandThrone.com. It's great to be with you today, and welcome to another edition of Table Talk, and this is number 4 of our series, Truth and Practice for Today. And bear with me, I might not be able to last too long with the condition of my voice, but hopefully we will be able to get out some truth that we can enjoy and go out and live in the light of it. Now I'm going to read verses 3-6 of Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every blessing that can be called spiritual in heavenly places in Christ. These blessings are in accord with the fact that he had chosen us in him before the overthrow of the world, that we should be holy and unblemished before him in love, having predestinated us unto son-placing through Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, and this leads to the applause of the glory of his grace, in which he hath highly favored us in the Beloved. Now last time we spoke on verses 3-4, and today we're going to finish up verses 5-6 in this section of Ephesians. If you go back and listen to some of our previous talks on Ephesians, we broke up Ephesians 1 verses 3-14 in three sections. Verses 3-6 is the Father, verses 7-12 is the Son, and verses 13-14 is God's Spirit. And we are going to see that each one of these sections is an important teaching for us. Well, here in verses 3-6, we have the Father's purpose before the foundation of the world. Now, we discuss verses 3-4 again. Today, we're going to finish up 5 and 6. Now, remember this before we get started. This is not an exhaustive study, and I hope that you go back and read these things and do your diligence to search and see whether these things are so. Now, notice in verses 3-6, we see, blessed be God who hath blessed us, according as he has chosen us, having predestinated us. So God blessed us in harmony with his choice. In other words, God is in charge of all this. God does things with purpose. God did not react to creation, but God, in all throughout the eons, has been doing things to work out according to the counsel of his own will. So God is in charge, and that's good news. Now notice that this predestination has to do with a position in the family. Nowhere do we see that God is choosing those to have aeonian life in these verses, but God is choosing those who have aeonian life to have a position in the firstborn of his family. So adoption has to do with placing people who are already in the family into a position of privilege. The word adoption is literally son placing. If we read in Ephesians 3, we read that God is a father, and we read the verse that says, every family in heaven and earth. So there's more than one family. And God chooses from his family members, his children, those who have the place of the firstborn. Now we're going to see that there are at least three spheres of blessing that have this adoption. In the first place, we read about the adoption has to do with the earth. On the earth, in Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now remember, if you do not rightly divide the word of truth, what are you going to do with this verse if you say you're going to heaven? The prayer in Matthew 6 says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we see there's going to be a literal inheritance on the earth where somebody's going to have the position of the firstborn. And who is this? Well, according to Exodus 4:22, God called Israel his firstborn. In Genesis chapter 10, we read of all the 70 nations on this earth, but God chose from among these nations Abraham, and through him the nation of Israel, to have the position of the firstborn on the earth. And according to Romans 9, verses 1-5, we see the word adoption used regarding Israel after the flesh, so they will have this position of the firstborn on the earth. The second sphere of blessing is the New Jerusalem, and we're going to see the term adoption or firstborn connected with the New Jerusalem. In Genesis 13, remember, God told Abraham to walk through the land and the length of it and the breadth of it. But in the book of Hebrews, we learn that Abraham not only looked for a future home on this earth, but he looked for a heavenly city. We never read about this heavenly city in the Old Testament. And this is a city that comes down from heaven. And it's not the land of Palestine. It's not the same place. Now, if the land of Palestine and the New Jerusalem are the same, the Bible's just a bunch of stories, and we shouldn't waste our time with it. But in the scriptures, they're different. We are to distinguish between the things that are different. So there's one company that has the place of the adoption on earth, and that is for Israel after the flesh. And in the New Jerusalem, we're going to see when we read Galatians and Hebrews, and you compare that with the book of Revelation, that the New Jerusalem is going to be for those in Israel who have a heavenly calling, and it also includes Gentiles. Remember Paul's Acts ministry. He brings out this new Jerusalem in the book of Galatians. And finally, we have the heavenly places. In Ephesians 1:3-6, we see Paul's post-Acts ministry when God set Israel aside. And when Israel was set aside, their hopes went with them. And what does God do in Ephesians? He opens up a new sphere of blessing, the heavenly places. And the members of the body of Christ of Paul's last seven letters, which we are studying in these programs, will have the position of the firstborn among the celestials. This is a great privilege that we have. Members of the body of Christ have the place of the firstborn among the celestial regions. So God has chosen us to the position of the firstborn. Now notice that it is by Jesus Christ himself. God today is presented as a God that never wanted to bless us, and his Son had to make God like us. But when you look at these verses, we see that this position is God's plan, and he commissioned his Son to carry it out. Remember in verse 3, we saw the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that these titles have meaning. In verse 4, God chose us to be holy and unblemished. That met the requirements of his title as God. And in verse 5, we are placed as a son, and that meets his requirement as a father. And what is the Father's motive? As God, in verse 4, his motive was love. We saw that last time. Here, as Father, it was the good pleasure of his will. The Father, it was his pleasure. He wanted to select us out and give us the position of the firstborn. His will was that we, the members of the body of Christ, should be selected out from all of his redeemed family and be given the place of the firstborn among the celestials. And this leads, according to verse 6, to the applause of the glory of his grace. That word praise means applause. We can sit back, as it were, and applaud God for all that he's done. Now, the grace he has shown us leads to glory. This glory is a glory that no other group of people have ever known. Paul's letter to the Ephesians opens up a sphere of glory unknown to any of God's redeemed outside of the body of Christ. And as we sit back and look at what God has done for us, we should applaud him, not ourselves. This is not our own doing. This is God's choice. He has taken you and me and exalted us to the highest place of glory with his Son. All of this will be realized when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, and we will appear with him in glory. That is the hope of the body of Christ, according to Colossians 3. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, and one day when Christ, our life, shall appear, we'll appear with him in glory. This is our hope. Is that yours? Let's look for that hope. Now finally, in Ephesians 1 verse 6, we read this. This leads to the applause of the glory of his grace, in which he hath highly favored us in the beloved. Now the King James has made us accepted, but I translated it here, highly favored. Now this phrase is only used twice in the scriptures. And if you turn to Luke 1 verse 28, go to there in your scriptures. I want to show you how this word is used regarding Mary. The angel Gabriel comes to Mary, and what does he say to her? Hail thou that art highly favored, blessed art thou among women. Now notice that. Mary had a position of favor. Now was Mary the only believing woman in Israel? And the answer is no. Remember, her cousin Elizabeth was given a great privilege. She had to bear John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. And I'm sure there were many other godly women in Israel. If you read the account in Luke, we read of Anna in Luke 1 and 2, who was a virgin, was a widow, and was in the temple praising God from the day she became widow to her old age. So there were many good women in Israel who were believers. But God selected Mary and gave her a position of favor. What was her favor? She had the privilege of bearing the Messiah of Israel. I'm sure every woman in Israel wanted that role. Now, Mary wasn't the only believer. Elizabeth was a believer. Anna was a believer, and many others. But she was singled out. Mary was singled out for a privilege that no other woman in Israel have. And now apply that to us. God says of us in Ephesians 1:6 that we are highly favored in the beloved. You and I have been selected out from all of God's redeemed. David didn't have this privilege. Job didn't have this privilege. Daniel didn't have this privilege. And I don't know about you, but I don't hold a candle to Job. I'm nowhere near the man that Daniel was, or Joseph, or Moses. But God selected me, not because of my works, but because of his choice to give me a position of high favor in the beloved. That phrase, beloved, is interesting. He chose me in the one in whom all his love shines, in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So members of the body of Christ have been selected out of all of God's redeemed, not because of their works, but because of the glory of God's grace, and given us this position of high favor that no other people have known. We should bless God for this. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us." What blessings we have. I hope you realize these great privileges that God has shown us in Paul's post-Acts ministry. Read Ephesians. We'll come back next time and pick up in verse 7. Read this whole letter. Sit down and read it through at one sitting if you can. And believe everything God says about you today. Recognize the unique ministry of the Apostle Paul upon the setting aside of Israel in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Believe these things, rejoice in them. This is Dan Sheridan with CrossAndThrone.com.